Hello, everybody. This is episode 30, and it's going to be short because my computer has crashed 3 times today, losing hours of audio. And also, I can't get my video because it won't recognize that either. So I'm kind of screwed. Stay tuned, and we'll talk a little bit and see if this one works.
Hump day! Yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a lot of things, and then I decided, wait a minute. I was listening to a recording of Lavoy Finnegan on Oath Keepers, and I had some issues with that. I'm not bad-mouthing Oath Keepers because I think they're a fine organization trying to get police and law enforcement officers to honor their oath, but some of the advice they were giving Finnegan and the protesters, as they're called in the news, advice on maybe how to relocate to a more safer, sheriff-friendly county. And I kind of look at that as a retreat maneuver, even though it made sense on a statistics and strategy point of view. The FBI had them pretty well surrounded and were trying to cut them off, but the FBI definitely wanted to squash this. And yeah, it might have messed things up for the FBI guys, that is, if they would have just picked up and moved, but I don't honestly think 2 days before they shot Lavoy that they would have just let him pick up and move. That train had left the station. The sheriff a long time ago had told Am and Bundy that they could leave with safe passage and no arrest. But this was weeks later, and I don't think they would have let him leave. Not a chance. So I think it would have been an attempt, but I think the imagery of it would have looked bad for the protesters. They haven't surrounded and killed other protesters in the country with Ferguson and Baltimore. They just let them burn the town down and they just stand back. So this was a bigger issue than just what we were seeing. So that's kind of sad, and it does upset me to see that so many well-organized groups would have been able to help if the Bundys would have played their ball game. But sometimes when you're in a street fight, there are no rules. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think the fight was just. It runs along the same parallel lines as the framers of the Constitution when they sent King George his Declaration of Independence and the preambles and all that, and they listed all of the grievances. And a lot of those grievances then sound just like the ones the Bundys have now. So I don't think the place would have been as good. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But you get in the fight or you keep your opinions to yourself. With that having been said, I'm going to switch subjects because we were talking about the Constitution in the last show. And I think that's an important part of what we're talking about here with what happened in Oregon and the sheriff just not following the Constitution or his oath, the FBI violating their oath and just using the Constitution as toilet paper. And this is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the Constitution and our freedom and our liberty and our property rights. And I don't think that there's a timing issue sometimes when you just have to go duke it out. It could have been handled a million different ways by both parties, but it wasn't. And the federal government made their point real clear that we the people should just shut up and back down. And I think moving their location wouldn't have changed the outcome at all. They would have killed Lavoy in a different way. They might have ran him off the road by a drunk driver, and they could have took him out anyway. They did that to our sheriff here in this county a long time ago, and he was a good guy, and Sheriff Devers, and then all of a sudden he was a drunk and a bum and got in a wreck. Totally against his character if you talked to anyone that knew him. So when they want you gone, you're gone. They'll SWAT team you and shoot you and whatever it takes to get you mad enough to resist. And then they kill you because you were resisting. They felt threatened. Boo-hoo. So this is all unconstitutional. And the FBI, when they met with the three percenters, basically said that, the Bundys were in their house, meaning that they were on federal land and they had no right to be there. Well, we've discussed the constitutionality of public land, and whether they can own it or not, it's still public land. You have every right to go on public land and camp or fish or hunt, and they weren't doing any of those. They were just hanging out. Now, if it's not a marked campsite, you can pretty much park your happy ass for 14 days just about anywhere on BLM land without paying a fee. You just pay the fees if you're in a campsite, because there's maintenance that goes along with that. So they didn't do nothing wrong. They just spun the story to look that way. I'm kind of discouraged with some of these bigger groups that really could have been there and shining a light on the situation. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but a lot of them could have done more instead of just armchair quarterbacking this thing and tell the FBI just killed a man because he was in the way and they wanted to cut the head off of the snake. Well, we were just protesting. No snakes involved here. So if we don't learn what constitutionality is, and we don't learn to defend ourselves and stand together and become united, then we're all going to die. You know, you see that in the movie Braveheart, which is a lot of it about history and with them trying to get freedom and sovereignty from England. And every time there was a unified fight, somehow they broke it apart, because they know if you don't get all your troops together, well, you're fractured. So Wallace had this great game plan and they would have been fine. And maybe the timing might have been off now and then, but that wasn't going to stop the king from attacking at will whenever he wanted. So timing was a non-issue, just like it was in Oregon. The fact that a lot of the clans back then in that movie didn't stand up and fight for their freedom and independence ended up getting Wallace killed. And in today's world, it got Lavoie Finucane killed, because there just wasn't enough support, whether it was media support or just good old boys getting together and standing. And the groups that could have stood and really made a difference chose to chit-chat about timing and statistics and strategy and mindset and hearts and minds. And just like when the families didn't show up to help Wallace. You know, he lost a few battles because of that. He was brokenhearted because of that. Now, I don't know how much of that movie is factual, but the scenario is real. It happened in Oregon and it'll happen again, because we just choose to stand back and be spectators instead of getting out on the field. And that's what happened to Lavoie, and that's what's happening to this movement. And they know if they just continue to divide, and then they'll continue to conquer. And these groups that didn't stand allowed themselves to be divided on whatever they called it. They allowed themselves to be pulled away from the fight, not to engage, and play by some set of rules that was set up by the enemy. So it's too damn bad, but the movement's pretty well come to a pretty much a grinding halt for now, unless the fire rekindles and gets going again. I really don't know if that can happen. I hope so. And I hope people like Alex Jones actually starts and continues to fight for freedom and liberty. I never seen Alex Jones back down from a fight, but for some reason, when there was lightning striking and we could have caught it in a bottle, just walked away, bought into the bullshit of the timing and the strategy. See, those were the times when people could have rallied at that moment and made a difference, and they didn't. So when will we do that? When will we put our fears aside and actually stand? Not asking you to bear arms and go toe-to-toe, mano-a-mano with FBI agents, our government. Just saying, do something. There were a lot of good people on the ground reporting the news, and they were having a hard time getting good signal and everything there during the end, probably because the FBI was doing something. And a lot of these big news organizations like Alex Jones, he's got better equipment and he could have got that word out there. But what was he afraid of? Losing some listeners to another guy named Pete Santini? I don't know. Was it more about the numbers than it was about the fight? Makes me wonder. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, geez. So when do we stand as one and take our country back? We don't have to kill anybody. All we got to do is stand up. I mean, we've seen their tactics. We know how they want this game played. They will surround, harass, lie, impugn, perjure until they got enough people on their side, and then they will pull the trigger and actually kill a person. If we played that way, well, then shit, we'd be the bad guys. Somehow the federal boys can just kill a person. I don't even hear any repercussions or indictments or anyone being laid off or administrative leave. Nope. Good job. Nice shot. That's fucked up. If we fought the battle this way, you know they would call us the bad guys, so we have to be a little bit better. We need to stand, or we will fall. If we don't make our stand, then we might as well just go home and surrender. Like Wallace said, you don't fight, then when you look back from that day to this, how will you feel? That you did nothing. So get involved. Show up. Tweet. Share. Get the word out. You got a knack for SEO? Take some of these videos and audio files that are out there and make them go viral. You don't have to carry a gun. We can do this peacefully. And we can do it in a way that it's overwhelming. Because eventually it's going to come down to bloodshed then. Because they've already drawn first blood. Hell, they did it in Ruby Ridge and they did it in Waco and now they did it in Oregon. That's how they're going to play it. And maybe it's to scare people. I mean, shit, I'd be afraid too. I am afraid. And all I am is just some nobody ranting and raving about something that I feel strongly about. Hell, they might come and squash me and nobody would even know. But I guarantee you all the big organizations that are supposed to stand for freedom, they wouldn't even lift a finger to flip the microphone on and go, oh, we lost another person fighting the battle. Maybe it's a ratings thing. I don't know. It's just sad. If the country is boiled down to ratings and all we care about is going viral so we get a pat on the back, well, then that's too bad. Because, see, I do this just because I care. I've been a prepper for 40 years, and I came to the conclusion after they killed Lavoie that maybe being prepared isn't as important as stopping the event that you may be preparing for. Getting involved in a way to where we don't ever have to bug out, retreat, and fall back. You know, that's what they always say in the news. Let's negotiate. Let's have detente. Let's talk it out. Well, fuck, that's what we were trying to do. And they just said, let's just kill a guy. Let's end this. I've been here long enough. It's cold. I want to go home, kill the guy, and let's get it over with. We've got the media on our side, and the media that's not on our side, we've shut them down. We've scared them into silence. And the big boys that could have made a difference, well, they're not really making a difference, so we don't have to worry about that. The 3%ers can go home now and say how horrible it was, and we can hear all the evidence, and they can just deny it. That'll be that. Another bunch of kooky militias. Fuck them. Shut up. That's how they feel about us. Alex Jones could have gotten involved and he chose not to. Oath Keepers could have gotten involved. Now I understand their position a little better than 3%ers and Alex Jones, but really everyone should have stood up and done their part, even if it was a small part. Kind of like in the movie The Godfather when one of the family is kind of talking a little bad. Can't remember, he was taking the side of the casino or something. And they were about to kill him. They said, don't you ever talk bad about the family. Even if you don't agree with what we're doing, you just shut up. Well, that's kind of how it's got to be, unfortunately. Not that we're going to kill people and put them in concrete boots, cap them in the back of the head while sitting in a cab. But at least, if you can't be involved, and you're a big organization with a big voice, then maybe you should just mute that for a minute. Think about what you're saying, because that spark, that fire that was starting, instead of helping feed it and get it going, supplying a little oxygen to it, no, you kind of help suffocate it. So for the many groups out there that I don't even know that remain silent, I guess you agree with the FBI killing a man. The groups that kind of tried to be involved and help by talking them off the cliff, well, that's what happens when you play the game their way. Because if you ever watched any of those shows, them alligator hunters, you don't get in the water and fight with the alligator. You drag it ashore and put a cap in its ass. So, I don't know, was it constitutional to kill a man? Nope, they denied him probable cause, due process, a trial by jury. They denied him all of his rights and just snuffed him out. They denied the protesters all their rights for a redress of issues and grievances. The BLM is depriving people of their land, which is a right, so they're not playing by the rules. Hell, they're changing the rules. If we don't get involved, there'll be no rules. There'll be no game. We will have lost by default just for not showing up. Might have had a great team, too. Hell, we could have won this little battle. But no, we chose to not show up. Our star quarterbacks just didn't show up to the game. A man short, so we lost. I have a hard time not just calling out the groups that I saw because I'm angry. And it makes it hard to not shout out, what the hell were you thinking? Or what were you not thinking? But I don't do that. Or I try not to. I'm trying to be tempered here. But most of you know who you are. I'm a nobody and you'll never hear this probably. But for fuck's sake, we just lost a key game in the playoffs just because a few players didn't show up because they didn't like the quarterback. They didn't like the water boy. That's just ridiculous. Don't you think? I mean, am I wrong? Am I looking at this wrong? You know, maybe it was more about timing and strategy. Maybe I'm a dumbass. Maybe I'm looking at this all wrong. See, I always thought we had all the rights and we granted a few rights to the government. But you know what? Maybe they do have the right to own that land and be a monarchy again. Maybe the reason the founding fathers or the framers of the Constitution, maybe they didn't really want us to own property. They wanted it all to be under the Kingdom of America. Maybe that's what they thought. See, and I just thought it was different. I thought we were the ones that owned the land and they were just given portions of it for needful things. So I guess I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Maybe the Bundys were wrong and Lavoie was wrong. Hammonds deserved to be in prison. Who are they to stand up to the federal government? Who are they to start a backfire and burn some of the government's land? I mean, you know, back in the day, like the shows and the books of Robin Hood, you know, you killed a deer to feed your family. You killed the king's deer. They just cut your head off. And you were a dumbass for even thinking you could kill and eat that deer. So maybe that's what America has become, Nottingham. So maybe I'm looking at it wrong and everybody that didn't stand up and fight for freedom and liberty was right. Yeah, that could be it. Not really sure. I'm kind of confused. When good men don't stand is when evil prevails. Well, maybe they're not evil. Maybe I just have my compass off. It's not calibrated right. See, the framers of the Constitution wanted it to be one big nation, one kingdom, one serfdom, where the president rules supreme, and we have no rights unless they're granted to us by the king. That's how I should be looking at this. That's it. Fuck, I feel better already. Not really, because just the thought of that runs so opposite and diametrically opposed to what we know is truth that it almost makes me want to throw up to say it. And if we had to live that way, kill me now. So our country, if it's too hard to understand how it was set up, then, I don't know, what do they say? If you can't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Well, we're falling down. And I'm not just blaming the Obama administration. Hell, it's been, you know, the fat lady died of old age 80 years ago. She ain't going to be singing. It's over. It's over unless we stand up and start it back up again. Take back our counties, one county at a time, one sheriff at a time. Take back our states, one state at a time. Put that dog back on its leash called Washington, D.C. You know, I had to retire a flag that I had flying. And, you know, it had been pretty torn up by a storm and it had already been ripped to shreds and blown across the yard. So I kind of neatly folded it up and just threw it out. I know I should have done it differently. And even my wife's like, well, that's not how you're supposed to do that. And I go, isn't that funny? All the people that worry about a flag that represents America would complain about that. Meanwhile, the people that run America, our politicians, use the Constitution for toilet paper. I don't see which one's more offensive, do you? I mean, a flag is a symbol. It just says, this is America. Constitution is a legal document that says, this is how America is. People will be more butthurt about somebody throwing a flag out or burning a flag than our politicians shitting on the Constitution. Isn't that weird? I think it is. Maybe I'm wrong again. So there you have it. That's my rant about that. We need to learn what the Constitution really is and what it really says. And it's really just a matter of semantics. There's maybe a couple hundred words in there that are legal words that we have to look up in a dictionary, and then we'll know what they mean. And then we'll know how to apply them to the Constitution and to our lives. It's not that complicated of a task. Some people memorize more parts than that in their gun. Pick a word. Use it in a sentence, learn its legal meaning, and then read it again. And then pick another word, learn what it means in a law dictionary. Look at what it meant when the framers wrote it. Use it in a sentence, and then read it again. And after you do that about 30, 40 times, you'll know exactly what it's telling you. And then you'll see that we're not wrong for standing up for freedom. They're wrong for what they're doing to our freedom. We have the power because we created the federal government. And just like we've all told our kids, I created you, and I can take you out. That's always a cheap threat meant to scare them. The simple fact is you don't let your kid dictate to you how much allowance you're going to give him and what he's going to spend it on. We're the parents. We created the federal government. It is subservient to us, not the other way around. We're the parents, and we will tell them, it's here's your allowance. Well, I need more. Well, too damn bad. But I got to buy this. Tough. You're living beyond your means, Johnny boy. And they'll learn. At least the kids will, if we become the parent again. Federal government, not so much, because, see, we've armed them. We've tactically trained them. We've bought them the coolest implements of destruction imaginable. And then we gave our mad dog titanium-sharpened teeth and turned it loose on us. We need to get that dog on a leash. It's our responsibility. That dog is running around the world causing problems, causing hate, biting people. And when they're mad at us, we go, well, it's not us, we the people. It's, you know, the crazies in Washington that are lying to you. They don't buy it any more than if your dog got loose in the neighborhood and bit a kid. It's not going to fly in court. So it's our dog. It's gotten distemper. And it either needs to be retrained and put on a leash, put in its yard, or put down. That's our options. Constitution says we can do any of those things. I think morality needs to kick in, and we need to do it the right way so we don't destroy the actual neighborhood that we want to protect. We don't want to destroy America. But I have no problem shutting off the federal government and hitting the reset button. We just need to do it in a way that it doesn't destroy the fabric of America. Because once that happens and chaos reigns, that's why you've been prepping. Because now it's time to run for the hills. Because it will take hundreds of years for things to get back to even what we would consider half-ass normal. And I don't think we have that much time. Technology's changed too much for a reset. So we got to be very careful in how we do that. But we need to do it. And you big media groups out there that, I'm not talking about FNC, CNN, MSNBC, all those yahoos. We already know whose pocket they're in. Nope, the alternative media. That's you and me out here on the internet. That's Alex Jones, Three Percenters, the Patriot Pacific Militia, the Oath Keepers, you, me. We need to get focused. We need to get a plan, and then we need to implement it. It's hard to implement a plan when you have to organize so many people. It's like herding cats. Very hard to do. So we just need to pick an objective that we can all agree on, freedom and liberty, constitutional republic. And then we can all go on our separate way heading toward that goal. As we get closer to it, we'll see the other ones around us, and then we can yell at them and go, turn a little right, turn a little left. But right now, we're kind of spread out, spread kind of thin. So take your stand anytime there's liberty being fought for, anytime there's freedom being desired. And as long as the protesters are peaceful and they're not setting the town on fire, then you support them. And as you're supporting them, then maybe you can get close enough to them to go, hey, don't do it that way, do it this way, because if you shoot that guy, it's all over, man. They will come down on you like a ton of bricks. I don't think that what the protesters in Oregon were doing was that bad. It really wasn't. They were occupying public land. They went into a public building that was vacant. I've been in public buildings, called a bathroom, on BLM land. 400 FBI guys didn't show up to shoot me and get me to leave and guarantee me safe passage because I was in a building. The fuck is that all about? So they were fighting a good fight. They hadn't done nothing illegal, constitutionally illegal. They had done nothing wrong. And that's when you go, oh, there's someone over there fighting for liberty. I can get to him. Go stand. He's shining a light on something that's bad. I'm going to go bring him some new batteries to keep that light shining. And then maybe as we make progress, it'll be easier to coalesce together in a more cohesive group. Because the more we put a leash on that mad dog, the less chance it has of attacking us in the dark. The more we control it, the more we're free to band together. But right now you band together and you're just a bunch of wackos. And then the media kicks in and everybody kicks in and you're left standing alone waiting for an FBI bullet in the face. So there you have it. That's the Constitution and that's how we fight and that's how we maybe get something going. So as far as me being a prepper, I'm pretty well all set for most of the shit. Unless it's an, you know, airplane falls on my house or a solar flare that shuts the world off. But I know how to camp. I know how to hunt. I know how to build a shelter out of sticks. I don't really need to do much more than that. Hell, cavemen could do it, and They didn't even speak English or have an internet. So now it's time to sit there and go, what have I prepped for all these years? The end of the world as I know it. Well, in case that day never comes, why don't I try to keep it from coming by getting involved? And that way, hopefully, just like all my guns, I never have to use them. Hopefully, I never have to bug out because of an economic collapse, because I was involved enough to hopefully stop that madness. That's what you do with all your spare time now, preppers, that you're totally prepared. Granted, there's always new preppers out there that need a little advice. And that's why we keep our forums active and we keep posting things that help people. Because every day you turn around, there's 1,000 new people that have never prepped. And we got to teach them. But we got to teach them that once you have the basics and you're pretty well golden as far as staying alive if you get lost somewhere for a couple days or a couple weeks. Once you've got those skills and that little bit of knowledge and gear, don't waste your time buying more and buying more and buying more. Get out there and make sure you never get lost by learning navigation skills. Make sure you never have to bug out because you're fighting the good fight to keep America free. Then there won't be any reason to bug out, and you'll never have to pull that bug out bag out and run for the hills. Just like if you try to defuse situations and avoid problematic situations, you never have to pull your gun, and that's all of our hope. You talk to any sane gun owner, and he carries it for protection and prays he never, ever has to use it. Well, that's how I feel about my preps. I hope I never have to use them unless I'm just out camping. I'll use them up then and rotate the new stock in. I want to invite you all to come over to PrepperGuy.com and listen to some of my podcasts and see if you think that what I'm trying to say rings for you. I'm always talking about politics and religion and why we prep, and this is going to be a new side of me, trying to get people more involved to where we don't have to be as prepared. If you have an umbrella, then you're prepared for rain. If it's nice weather, then you don't have to worry about your umbrella. Let's see to it that we have nice weather. So hopefully this doesn't crash on me and I get to save it before my piece of garbage computer falls apart again and loses everything. You guys have a great day. Think about what I said. Get in the fight. You don't have to bear arms. All you got to do is retweet, share, make things go viral that make sense to you. Stand for the good cause instead of some stupid movie star celebrity cause. Get out there and be involved. Make it happen. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And just because you can't be part of the solution doesn't make you part of the problem. It just makes you not part of the equation. So if you're going to be part of the equation, be the solution side. So I hope that helps everyone, gives you something to think about for the week. Learn to analyze and critically think. And let's stop preparing for the bad times and let's start working to make them never happen so you never have to use your preps for an end-of-the-world scenario. We can do it. I really believe that. We just need to get involved. There's enough gun owners to where you never have to worry about losing your gun rights if you just fight the fight the right way. Learn how it works. The federal government doesn't rule your life in a state or a county. The sheriff does. And we, the people, do. We're the ultimate authority. So we got enough numbers. We just need to get them to look in the right direction. So come over to PrepperGuy.com. Send me an email if you got any thoughts or questions or whatever. Mark@PrepperGuy.com. Go to my YouTube channel and look at some of my poorly produced videos on everything that's been going on in Oregon and how we should look at the election and stuff. If I'm saying something that maybe helps you, then subscribe and give me a thumbs up. And if not, then you haven't really wasted any more time than you would have watching some cat poop video or whatever. Starting a new project called Sovereign State Project. It's new. I have the domain and I have the website. It's kind of set up, but I could use input from good people on there about how we can teach people that it's county by county. It's not president by president. It's county by county. It's sheriff by sheriff, mayor by mayor. Get control of that first. So check that out, sovereignstateproject.com. My email is mark@sovereignstateproject.com. Send me your ideas. Love to hear it. Want to thank all you that listen. I think it's awesome. And when my computer's not crashing, I have a really good time. I remember a story one time, I think, when I was in church. It's not a religious story, so don't tune out if you're anti-religion. Story of a young kid trying to put together a puzzle of the United States. And he's having a hard time putting this 50-piece puzzle together, and then finally gets it all put together. And his parents are like, "Wow, you did a good job getting that put together. How'd you do it?" And he goes, "Well, I noticed on the other side of the puzzle was a picture of a house. And once I got the house put together, the country was put together." I kind of butchered that story up, but if we can get our house in order, then we can get our city in order. We get our cities in order, we can get our states and our counties in order. Then we can start focusing on the big picture. But if we quit playing their stupid games in Washington, all of a sudden there's no audience participation, there's no ticket sales, maybe the game would just go away. Because the big election coming up is your mayor and your sheriff. Nobody cares about the president anymore. He's a jackass. John Adams. He was the first vice president because he lost in the general election to George Washington. So second place became vice president. Didn't matter what party you were in. He hated it. Not that he became vice president. He just said there's nothing to do. There's barely anything to do as president. Country kind of runs itself. Nowadays, boy, that's an honor. It's another feather in your hat and another paragraph in your resume. But when it was really set up, it wasn't that way. So don't get all caught up in who's going to be the next president. Because that president can screw stuff up even more than Obama did. But if your sheriff isn't going to enforce those stupid federal laws, then you don't have to worry about them. That was what Sheriff Mack learned when he sued the Clinton administration over the Brady Bill. Justice Scalia said, in all reality, they can't call you into service and you never had to honor or enforce that law. It's like, wow, could have saved myself a bunch of time and a bunch of money. So that was the opinion of Scalia in the court. So what really is more important? I guess who your sheriff and your mayor are. Some county officials. Go to Sheriff Mack's website. Just type in Sheriff Mack. He's got quite a few videos on YouTube, and he's got a really good organization about constitutional sheriffs and law enforcement officers. Check it out. You'll learn some amazing stuff. Okay, well, I think computer hasn't crashed, but it's probably wanting to, so I'm going to sign out. You guys think about it. Think about your country. Get involved. Enjoy the apocalypse.